I've been starting out by saying something every week, where too many of us as believers are speaking what's happening instead of what's written. And I'm seeing it more and more in the lives of believers. I know there's a lot of gyms shut down, some have gone bankrupt, but I want you to know that Harvest Gym is open all the time. And you can come do your aerobics class, you can run around the track, amen. Say Harvest Gym. Now, the good thing is the membership's already been paid by the blood of Jesus Christ. Just thought I'd mention that. So the church needs to stop talking about, if you don't mind, what's happening rather than what's written. When Rick Renner says in his book, he says, we are in the last of the last days. There's no question about it. We are at the end of an era right now where we are, not understanding what's going on. Something supernatural is going on that we don't know about. Can I tell you what's going on? Here's what the Holy Spirit said to me. There is something called a pandemic. We've heard about it. We've talked about it. I get so tired of hearing it. But the Holy Spirit said this, that there's a pandemic of love showing up. There's a pandemic of love coming. Because as believers, what are we to do? We're to love. Amen? I can't preach it this week, but I'm going to preach 1 Timothy 1:7. Let's just go there and take a peek at this. I'm not preaching it today. There's just no time to do that. But I just want to touch on a few things. Can I do that? Yes. Say pandemic of love. Pandemic. That means it's going to be global. It's interesting. My friend Rodney Howard Brown in Florida, he bought one of the largest dealerships in the state, turned it into a church. And he's a soul winner. He put AstroTurf on his whole parking lot, put up tables and umbrellas, and is preaching to people. Winning them by the thousands. He's putting up, if he hasn't already done it, a swimming pool to baptize on his property anybody that wants to get baptized. So I texted him. I said, thank God you're still going, preaching the good news. And then I said something to him because his daughter Kelly died in her teenage years. And he talked to me the night, I think it was Christmas Eve or something like that, for over an hour. And he said, I'm going to win more lives for Kelly than most people have done in their lifetime. So I texted him. I said, Kelly is in the grandstands of heaven right now cheering you on. His whole parking lot covered in AstroTurf. Now, see, the natural mind goes like this. How much did that cost? Are you kidding me? What's the price tag on one soul? There is none. Say, there is none. Glory to God. The man came to this country with $450 in his pocket, and when he walked up to the counter to get his room paid for, they said, how will you be paying for this? And he didn't know, and the man said, oh, by the way, a letter came for you. And in there was a credit card that said, you can spend whatever you want on this credit card. I got all your bills covered. Just charge it. Hallelujah. And from that point, the man is a multimillionaire traveling the world preaching the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Don't tell me the word doesn't work, because the Lord told me you go to America and you preach the good news of Christ. You know what? That's part of the fruit that comes back to this country, because this country for years has been sending missionaries around the world. Amen. Glory to God. One of the great generals of our time. They seem to be falling one at a time. But Morris Cirillo passed this past week. Remember Morris? Preached here like 20 years ago. Powerful man of God. He was John Sorrentino's mentor. But he passed and went into heaven. Amen. I just can't imagine what it must have been like when he walked into heaven. Amen. R.W. Schambach and some of those other guys, just they're still talking about Jesus up in heaven. Amen. Say glory to God. His wife, Teresa, if you can remember her in prayer, it'd be wonderful. She really needs protection and covering. Amen? So you'll do that, I know. So let's look at 1 Timothy, all right? Fair enough? Spend a little bit of time here in the Word of God. For God did not give us a spirit of fear. Say, spirit of fear. I've never seen so much fear. People won't go near you. They walk on this side and that side. And I had one person turn their back to me and stood against the wall like I was going to frisk them. They did something wrong. Fear is prevalent everywhere. But God has not given us. So if there's fear, listen to me now. If so much Holy Ghost in this place. So here's what we're going to do. If you're being challenged by fear, we're going to do a fear walk or a fear run. We're going to do one lap. Because if you have fear on you, it's, well, people are going to know I'm fearful. I said, if there's fear on you, people don't really care. They want to see you free. Yeah. If there's fear following you around, challenging every step you make for God, then you do one walk or one run around this church and go back to your seat, and God's going to set you free. How do you know? Because the passage is heard from the Holy Ghost, and I know when he says to do something, I do it, because in obedience you'll find freedom. No confusion in God. Amen? So if you got to do that, go ahead and do it. I'll wait for you. Go ahead. Go ahead. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah. And as you go, say, I don't have fear. Fear of what? Say, God has not given, as you're going, say, God has not given me a spirit of fear. Say it out of your mouth. He hasn't given me that. See, what you're doing is saying what's written. What's written. Not what you're hearing. What you're hearing is a bunch of lies being spoken by men. Come on now. Come on. Clap them on like they're coming across that finish line. There is none. Well, this person said that. Well, God said this. This person said that. Well, God said this. Those walls came down in Jericho because the people kept quiet, didn't respond to what they were hearing on top of the wall. And then when it was time for God's people to be victorious, they sounded the trumpet. Ha-ha. Trumpets are sounded, when it's with God, trumpets are sounded before the victory. Always before the victory. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's not given us a spirit of fear. He hasn't given us a spirit of fear. Has not given us a spirit of fear. Hasn't done it. Say, I'm free. Say what the word says. If you don't know what it says, find out. Read it. Say it out of your mouth. Hebrews 10:23. Confession means what? Saying the same thing that God says. So it's not you go into a booth somewhere and tell somebody your problems. That's not from God. That's from some other place called religion. You and I say what God says. When we do, because one of the first phases of relationship, powerful one, is agreement. If you have a husband and a wife that aren't in agreement, you're not going to get much done. Agreement is number one priority in marriage. Well, our finances are a mess because you're not in agreement. Well, I think I should spend this, and he thinks we get an agreement, and you'll have enough money to go around and put some in the bank. Amen. Even give some to the church. Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know if I did I say that? Yes, I did. Amen. Say agreement. Saying the same thing that God says. We should never come to a place, listen, we should never come to a place where we say we don't know what to do. We do know what to do. It's written right over here in the good old book called the Bible. Amen? That's why this is being pushed aside. That's why Christian Judeo values are being pushed aside so evil can run loose. People are murdering people all over the place. Cain and Abel. The Bible says, listen, that was a seed. Cain killed it. It says, and sin crouched at the door of his heart. It crouched waiting for an opportunity. I got news for you. You and I are called to be pulpits in this world and to tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Say, I'm a walking pulpit looking for somebody to tell the good news about Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Say hallelujah. Now I looked something up. It came into my spirit. And I think my wife preached this years ago, may have, Mandarin Chinese. There are two words for the English word crisis, danger and opportunity. We are living in perilous times, dangerous times, but they also become, say, opportunities. Say opportunities. When there's a crisis, there's an opportunity. Let me read this definition. Crisis is a critical point where something new is beginning to emerge. When churches had to be closed down and online became kind of like a popular thing, Joel Osteen's church, in the first meeting he had, 4.63 million people watched his broadcast. You can't put that many in a church service, but see what the devil meant for evil, God turned around for good. See, he has opened the door for the gospel more than ever before to be preached around this world. There's a pandemic of love that will reach every nation, will reach every man, every woman, every child. It's on its way. It's happening already. We can't go by what we see. We've got to go by what the Word of God said. There's going to be a great falling away of the church, but there's also going to be a great influx of people into the kingdom of God. I said there's an influx coming because you and I are walking pulpits, hallelujah, walking pulpits every time we step foot out our door, even in our own home, and the love of God is going to be coming out of each and every one of us. Say, I don't have a spirit of fear. The Bible says this. It says, redeem the times. So I looked up the two words. It went like this. It means to buy opportunity. You and I have opportunity, amen? We're going to redeem the time, and we're not going to say, how long is this going to go on? Jesus Christ is alive and well. He sits at the right hand of God the Father interceding for us, and the Bible says he's coming back soon. He's coming back soon. When the book of Acts, when he took off into heaven on a cloud, the angel says, why do you stand there gazing? He's coming back the same way. I got news for you. When I see cloudy skies, I'm looking. But what if there's just a small cloud? I remember a story in the Old Testament. A man started running. What was his name? Yeah, Elijah. Because he saw a cloud the size of a man's fist. And he started running. Why? Because that represented a storm cloud. There's a storm cloud of God's love coming this way. Hallelujah. And it may start in a small little group like Harvest Church.
Yes, Lord.
And it just begins to grow and grow. Say, God has not given me a spirit of fear. There's a pandemic of love coming our way. I said it's coming. God has not given us a spirit of fear. But what's he given us? Wow. A spirit of power, say power, and of love, and what?
Sound mind.
Say sound mind. So what we're going to do in the coming weeks ahead, we're going to be talking about, first of all, power. Say power. Then what are we going to talk about?
Love.
Oh, we're going to talk about love. How many remember love? God's love, amen?
Amen.
And then we're going to talk about what?
Sound.
A sound mind. See, you have to understand that Timothy was being written to by Paul, and he saw what was going on because it was a madman. I call this guy Nero was something like Hitler was of his day. Amen? He wanted to kill the preacher. Ephesus was the largest church. The largest church. Most of the disciples and apostles went to that church. Mother of Mary Jesus went to that church. They had hit squads, kind of like Hitler had the secret police. They had secret police of their day looking for him and hunting him down. It wasn't safe for him to go outside his door. Everything had to be done in a way where they didn't know where he was. Amen? Now listen to me. He was a preacher of righteousness. Paul's writing to him and saying, Timothy, don't have a spirit of fear. What was the fear? That his life would be snuffed out if he stuck his nose out the door. He was 80 years old when he died. He was out preaching the gospel in the middle of a celebration of the goddess Diana, preaching the gospel. And the mob got so mad at him, they took him, beat him, dragged him through the streets, and then stoned him. He died a martyr's death. But you know why he was preaching the gospel in an environment that wasn't good? Because he didn't have a spirit of fear. Amen? He was called to preach the good news of the gospel. I'm called to preach the good news of the gospel. You are called to preach the good news of the gospel, to live a godly life so people can see you and understand there's something different about you. Say, there is something different about me. Say, there's something different about me. Amen? So let me just talk about this verse for one moment. Can we do that? I want to read it to you in a different translation, and then we'll get going. Fair enough? He's given you a mind that's been delivered. Say delivered.
Delivered.
It's been rescued.
Rescued.
It's been revived. Salvaged. Protected. And brought into a place of safety and security so that it's no longer affected by illogical, unfounded, absurd thoughts. Wow. See, that word there comes from the word salvation. You know what that means? Saved mind. I mean, you know, you can get saved and still be doing some of the things you used to do. But then when your mind gets renewed and saved, you kind of put off all those other things. Am I right? I remember some of the things you used to do before you got, don't yell it out now. Am I right? But then when you met Jesus, things were a little different today. And as you progress along, and Nikki's been preaching so nice on Wednesday night about sanctification, part of the process, every day there's a change going on, spiritually speaking. See, there's a change going on. See, you and I are on God's prophetic timetable.
Amen.
We are not here just because we're here, because mommy and daddy had us. We are here ordained by God for this time and this hour to proclaim the good news of Christ to people that are lost and dying. There are more people searching for God today and more people getting saved than ever before. I'm baptized in the Holy Ghost. I speak in tongues. Amen. Paul said, I speak in tongues more than all of you do. Can I tell you a little secret? You want to bring confusion into the enemy's camp? Start praying in tongues. Start using your prayer language. If an army is moving forward, they have to have a supply line. If they don't have a supply line, whatever they're doing is going to shut down. Eventually, they'll be overtaken. The enemy looks to cut our supply line. He looks to get in there and mess up our head with stupid stuff. But when you and I start speaking in tongues and prophesying, he has to back off because he doesn't understand. He can't interpret the language that's being spoken. But God does. I said, but God does. Say, my mind is sound.
My mind is
sound. Let me give you three things about a sound mind. We'll go home. Fair enough? First of all, a sound mind is teachable. Harvest Church, you're a teachable group of believers. I watch you take notes. I watch your responses. You're teachable. If we're going to be strong in the Lord in these last days, we've got to remain teachable. Say teachable.
Teachable.
Make sure now who's teaching you is teaching you the truth of God's word.
Amen.
There's a lot of people out there. The Bible says in the last days, many shall come in his name. You better. Now, how do I know the difference? Very simple. Say very simple.
Very simple.
If I know the truth, then the truth I know will set me free.
Amen.
When people say, well, I don't believe in healing. Well, the word says you can be healed. So when the world says this is going on and some churches aren't even preaching the gospel anymore, you say, no, it is written. When they told them in the book of Acts, you can no longer speak in the name of Jesus. So they went and had a prayer meeting. And guess what? The Holy Ghost showed up again. Hallelujah. Amen. We had the Holy Ghost during this quarantine that was going on. We got stronger. Am I right? Stronger because there was two places to turn, to our video games or turn to the Word of God. I got stronger because I spend more time in the Word because there wasn't a whole bunch of junk to get done. Amen? I'm telling you, the more Word, the more power. Say, more Word, more power.
More Word, more power.
Say, more Word, more power.
More Word.
God has not given us a spirit of what? Fear. Here's another one for you. A sound mind is controlled. What does that mean? A sound mind is controlled by the Holy Ghost. Listen to, if you don't mind, 1 Peter 1:13. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. See, when the revelation of Christ comes in, something supernatural happens. Say, I'm controlled by the Holy Ghost. Listen to it in the Amplified Version. Brace up your minds, be sober, circumspect, morally alert, set your hope holy, say holy, and unchangeable on the grace and divine favor that's coming to you when Jesus Christ the Messiah is revealed. Amen. Here's a third thing about a sound mind. Say a sound mind. First of all, it's what? Teachable. Say I'm teachable. I'm controlled by. Here's the third one now. A sound mind's full of God's word. You got to be full of something. I choose to be full of God's word. Amen. Say hallelujah. Glory to God. Paulie made pizza. And at the end, we all sat around. He makes great pizza, really. So we looked at Nico. How many did you have? How many did you say, hon? 9 pieces of pizza. Then he said, is there any more? We ought to have that kind of an appetite for the Word of God.
Amen.
Say the Word of God.
Word of God.
A man who's controlled, a woman's controlled, is full of the Word of God. Listen to Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds, what? From the mouth of God. Psalm 118, verse 17 says this, I will not die, but live and will proclaim what the word has done. Boy, we're proclaiming that. Here's the last one for you. A sound mind is clean. See, the word of God purifies us. You know, one of the best things you can do in the natural is drink an 8-ounce glass of water before you start your day. That pushes out all the toxins. The word of God is called the water. So when you drink the water first thing in the morning, the first part of your day, you're washing out all the junk, cleaning yourself out spiritually speaking. Amen? Bow your heads right where you are for a moment. I want to give you an opportunity to ask Jesus Christ into your life. See, he's what makes the difference in our lives. I want you to meet this man named Jesus. He loves you. He died for you. He cares about you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He won't drop you. He won't quit on you. He'll always be there, whether there's a crisis or not. He will never leave you nor forsake you. If you'd like to ask Christ into your life, Harvest Church, you're going to join us real quick. Stand up to your feet. Let's all say this prayer together. Would you do that? Jesus, Today, I realize
I need to make a change in my life.
Today, I'm making a decision with my mouth that I want to ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Make me brand new in you. Thank you for your blood being shed for me. I love you in Jesus' name. Now, you may not know what you've said or done, but by tomorrow, you'll begin to realize something's different. You got to find yourself a good church where the pastor's preaching the Word of God. Find out his vision. Find out what it is that he's doing there as the pastor of that church, and find out how you can help him. Give your offerings, your tithe. See if there's something you can do around the church. Find out a good church. Say a good church. I know of one if you're local, Harvest Church, but I just thought I'd throw that out there. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.